Hey, welcome back to the Kickers of Elves podcast feed. And for another something different this time. This time we're not talking about a book. Actually, it's going back to a little bit of what was done before. This is back to talking about Star Trek. Maybe some of the people that are still on this feed are here for the Star Trek of it all. And I guess there's new Star Trek. You might already know that there's this other podcast that James and Hugh used to do with me, and then they decided that Discovery was a garbage show, which, no comment on that. So then I brought in some scabs to do another podcast over there with a Discovery Home Companion, and then it turned into a lot of other different jumbled titles, because, we're all about consistency over here. Right now it's Star Trek Resignation, I think, a Discovery Home Companion, Disco Inferno, whatever. Star Trek Resignation is the podcast feed. So that's what you can look up in all your podcast catchers or apps or whatnot. And since the new season of Discovery is coming out, it's already several episodes out. We did that podcast. Some of what I'm saying for you guys is shit you've heard before, but if you haven't, don't know that I still talk about Star Trek from time to time with one guy that's really into it and one guy that could not give a shit. This is the first podcast of a final season covering Star Trek Discovery. So, and you can find links to it in the notes for this. If you didn't know about it, if you already listened to it over there once, oh, I'm sorry. This is more shit that you already heard. But hey, for those of you who don't know and you need your Star Trek fix, here's a way to get it. We're going to give you the real thoughts about the show, the right criticism without fanboying out and without, relying on bigotry for that. There's so much to criticize without having the, for the right reasons. But I don't want to get ahead of myself about what the show is. I won't be putting them all out on this feed, just this one to let you know that it's actually there. Because Twitter's a piece of shit now, and who knows how to make anybody listen to your podcast, because we don't have any celebrities, don't have any big money advertising. It's all word of mouth. So tell your friends and do all the stuff that every podcast asks you to do. If it's a different vibe with Glenn and Sean than you get with James and Hugh and me, but it's a good time. And then Patreon, Kickers of Elves, patreon.com for extra bonus stuff that'll keep coming up there. And eventually, maybe James and you and I will record some other series for this feed. We talk a lot about it, but life, man. All right, I've yapped enough. Go listen to this podcast about Star Trek. Why don't you?
Step one, Wade says we need to talk. Glenn walks, you say sit down, it's just a talk. He smiles politely back at you. You cannot tell cause you're on Zoom. Some sort of windscreen to your right. Headphones go left, turn on your mic. Between the line, too loud, too faint. You begin to wonder why you can't.
What up?
Where did I go wrong?
Right.
I watched the show.
Let's hit the show on the road.
Yeah, I guess we should get going.
Yeah, we have three episodes to cover, you lunatic.
We're not doing a triple-length episode. No fucking way.
We're
going into excruciating detail.
Look, I took notes. I don't remember
anything that happened.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Let's.
All right, I'm gonna do a countdown.
Yeah, yep.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Where did I go wrong? I watched the show.
Did you guys clap? Did I not hear you? Because we were so synced up. Because we're
that's exactly.
We're a well-oiled machine. Podcast is about Star Trek.
We haven't lost a goddamn step aside from the fact that it's been three episodes since this fucking season started.
Well, this episode started with one episode, and then another episode the same night. So, and then...
We can't contend with a double.
Yeah, look, I was trying to get you to podcast 6 months before the episode started, but turns out that's not feasible.
Yeah, Glenn loves One Piece, doesn't believe in piracy.
Yeah.
All right.
That was pretty good. I'll talk about this on pod because I'm so fucking angry about watching Discovery, but I really love One Piece.
Hell yeah.
I don't understand. Hey, my name's Wade Bowen, right? You know that. And that's Glenn Hall over there. And
it sure is.
Sean Parada.
After all this time.
What's up?
This is Star Trek Resignation, or is it a Disco Home Companion? Man, that's too much to say. All right, but we're here to talk about Star Trek, right? And we're, hey, look, this whole little podcast feed got started with a little show called Star Trek Discovery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And then 5 seasons and 100 years later, it's coming to an end.
And I was thinking about this. This show has been running for 7 fucking years. That is, I guess COVID's like part of the equation, but yeah, like, that's still probably pretty remarkable.
Right?
Well, 5 seasons, I mean, right, 65 episodes in 7 years is a fucking embarrassment.
It is. 7 years used to be what 7 seasons of Star Trek was.
Yeah, it used to be 140 episodes.
Right, which was as much Star Trek as any Star Trek ever got. Every show, you know, they killed it. Yeah. TNG was 7 seasons. This is 7 years.
Oh, wow.
TNG, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager all had 7, and it was only until Enterprise that they started cutting that.
Yeah.
And yeah, all like 20-something episodes a season?
Yeah.
That was what they did back in the day.
That was how that's...
And,
yeah, some are shorter, some are longer. Yeah, Glenn, we know how the television works. We watch a lot of it.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, like, the recent, you know, quote from Goldsman about, you know, oh, well, you know, the challenges of the streaming era, but don't worry, we're able to cut down on the filler episodes. And it's like, God damn it, that's the fucking
point.
That's
what people want from
fucking
Star Trek is, yeah.
That's why
I didn't read that article, but I was like, that's an article for the fucking suits. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
to come
totally
this far and remain like with such a fundamental misunderstanding of Star Trek.
Right. Well,
it's
right.
Crazy.
Like, it truly is built on the filler.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, I guess we should start talking about the beginning of this 5th season, which seems to be.
Yeah.
Sorry to spoil everything. It's, you know what? I think it's doing what it's doing. And what it's doing is, let's say it. Okay. A fundamental misunderstanding of what people want from Star Trek.
Yep.
No. Come on. They want the end of life, the anti-life equation. Come on. That's what we all want from Star Trek.
Well, they're trying to do everything to all people because it's like, you know what people want? They want TNG references. So we're going to put a picture of this like still from TNG over and over again for the first 2 episodes.
Which... I want to just like point out there's a little bit of symmetry here because, you know, back when this must have been season 2 when the Red Angel like bullshit started, I remember a theory that Wade postulated that I think you were communicating a Reddit theory or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
anyway,
probably. Original ideas. I don't remember,
but you mentioned the theory that the Red Angel was somehow connected to the Iconians. Who are, I believe, one and the same with the progenitors.
Nope.
The
Iconians
are they're not the same.
God, oh, shit.
No. But doesn't...
Shut down.
Now, the Iconians
look up.
Were like...
Aren't they?
Like, they left portals all over the place. Maybe they're similar.
Yeah.
But
weren't they in that episode? Because I remember the specific episode where, you know, the Romulans and Klingons and Federation all like converge on like one planet, and
shit,
you'll find out that there was like a common like seed.
Shit, you're right. Fuck. I thought the Iconians and the progenitors were 2 different things.
I could also believe that like the instigating incident was, oh, there's these Iconian portals. And, oh, this led us to, you know, the bullshit with and given, as you said, you know, the kind of obsequious commitment to references that I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I would be surprised if they botched a reference like that.
Right. Well, they didn't mention the Iconians at all. If I remember correctly.
Which makes me think that maybe they were just the instigating, like, right, you know, artifact of the episode, and that the progenitors are in fact. But I think there is still like a tenuous connection to the Iconians, because I don't know that.
Probably. I mean, all of it really is. It's the last season of the show, and they're like, oh, wait, we got a one. Mm-hmm. We want to throw an Easter eggs for the fans, but not have it mean anything. But maybe they do. And then they want to mention Picard as many times because Picard.
Yep.
And then they just show that still of the, you know, progenitor that looks like a changeling, but it was before the changelings in DS9. But
right,
they show that same so still that, over so and over that, and over again from like, yes, so I saw
Star Trek. Is Star Trek like not into the Big Bang?
Well, the whole progenitor thing was the way I remember it when I first watched it. I was like, oh, because when I was a kid, like Star Trek, you know, it's a TV show from the 60s, so they're all people or whatever. But the science mm-hmm. nerd in you was like, there's all these different aliens. Why do they all look like people? And then they're doing a explanation through the show. It's like, well, it's because progenitors space seeded everybody everywhere, and that's why there's humanoid. That's why all the humanoids look similar. And I was like, you know what?
And it's all
explained away. And so,
right.
I got no problem. Fucking blew its load all over the universe, and now most people look like people.
Right. Well, and Sean, I was like, you know what? That's great. That makes sense. Because it never made sense that there's not all these weird aliens.
Right. There's no dog people. Come on.
But
nobody
Sean,
walks on four legs. Right. What's up, Glenn?
But no. I was saying it's appropriate the analogy you just made, because this also has basis in a real, like, you know, hypothetical framework of life throughout the universe called panspermia. Again, the idea that like
the space jockeys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like the idea that an advanced alien species seeded life. Seeded complex life. I guess. I just realized you mean Prometheus the fucking movie.
Yeah, well, that's what the space jockeys were, and then.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I hate that. That's accurate. But yes.
I like Prometheus.
Star Trek did it first, guys. But you know, nerds did it first. I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, but so you know, look, this is a firmly foundational bit of Star Trek lore bullshit. Is that, you know, that there is some kind of common ancestry of right. all the humanoid
and
races,
you know,
that you see.
I appreciate that nerdery, but it's just basically something to hang on, like some Kurtzman, like, this is what people want. Because the way this whole season is set up, like the Kelvin movies, it's action-adventure Star Trek that doesn't think too hard about the things.
Right.
Really. It's all about quips. Mm-hmm. And when dangerous shit happens, the people don't go, oh shit, I'm gonna die. They go, woohoo, oh yeah,
right,
yay. And that's, you know, and them kind of Marvel movie of it all, and because that's what Kurtzman wants to deliver with his no filler episodes, and you know,
and that's that. And that's the curse, and that's that combined with like the theater kid kind of mentality of it all is, yeah, like they clearly wanted this to be like the Marvel thing, right, of Trek,
because it's Star Trek National Treasure. It's like the whole, yeah, this, right, that's what this season is. Well, it's
which I will say is not
well
a,
that framing like, I like
I, know. I was about to say, yeah, like that's a great premise for a Trek show, but I think the key failing here is so much reliance on the almost like, you know, AI algorithmic, you know, again, this is what happens in Marvel movies, which at one point were very successful, is that, you know, characters don't react to things, they comment on it. Everyone's commenting on what's happening and not actually experiencing it.
And it's a way it's a big budget MacGuffin chase.
Yep.
With all this kind of
and look, I'm just gonna, and full disclosure, and I feel like Sean's probably in the same boat as me, but like,
hello,
these three episodes like washed over me like a gentle breeze, leaving no trace on my brain. Like,
yeah, but gentle breezes are nice. It washed over me like a horde of mosquitoes. Like, it wasn't pleasant. I didn't really like enjoy myself.
Yeah, it washed over me like a wash of dirty bathwater. I wasn't repulsed. I was like, this is kind of gross. I'm not uncomfortable because it's so kind of like just so many things I've seen before. It's just like a gentle delivery of dirty water of every like action and movie from the Marvel era trying to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right. And look, like case in point with the National Treasure like pitch, like there's interesting
movies I've never seen, by the way, but they seem like
you gotta.
I was talking with Jody tonight about like, oh, those were great fun. We're gonna watch those with the kids when they get home. I was like, sure, fine.
Yeah, you got to open the book.
Yeah,
the book of secrets.
That's goddamn right. The movies are great. The show is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Nobody watched the show. I think you're the only one.
No, there's
I was about to say, my wife
that.
And I are the only ones that watch that show week to week. And it was, no joke, truly one of the worst. Like, I would watch every episode of Discovery 3 times in a row before I watched that, like, season of television again. It was agonizing.
Right,
like, you know, but Kate, the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, as with many previous seasons and episodes of Discovery, like, the components are, like, there's promising stuff there. I like the idea of, like, the villains of this series being, or of this season being, you know, like a Bonnie and Clyde dynamic.
Her name's like, Maul, because, like, she's like a gun Maul, guys. It's like Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
I don't like her being, like, Book's sister.
I don't like that
care.
Book. Here's
don't connect them. Just do the.
It's a very small galaxy.
It doesn't all. Why is the universe so small?
They keep talking. Yeah, the galaxy, the universe is so small. And then even the first few episodes, there's a few times like where Michael Burnham's talking about it, and she doesn't say the galaxy or the world. She says it's a small world out there. It's like, it's not a world. There's a lot of worlds. You just built the galaxy, you dumb idiot. Like, that's what started. But there's a couple of times where she says it's a small world and the world is like this. It's like, I get that it's like a saying, but like, no, Star Trek is, you know, in previous Star Trek, I don't feel like they ever talked about, oh, you know what the world's like when they're talking about the galaxy. They say the galaxy.
Well, and this
just feels like so antithetical to Star Trek to say, like, man, it's such a small world. It's like, no!
No, yeah, it's a big world out there. It's not a world.
It's big, and that's the point!
Yeah.
Well, and look, this is the core thing of, like, the way that these characters act within the world is just so at odds with
the galaxy, the universe. Don't you do it too good.
No, sorry. No, fair point. But,
I tried... I'm sorry. I'm going to jump in here. I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk about this whole thing reasonably. I'm not going to get another drink, but I have this beer sitting on the desk right here. Like, all right, I'm not going to try to get drunk and record a podcast. I want to talk this shit out. But this show, if I get into it, maybe I'm going to have to crack the beer.
this might drive you to drink.
Yeah. But sorry, go ahead, Glenn.
My core thesis, I think, is that, you know, on the other Trek shows, and honestly, like, even Lower Decks, like, there is this kind of, there's this, like, core foundation of, like, these are, oh, no, it's fine. you need that beer more than I do. But, you know, there's this core foundation of, like, these are, like, explorers, these are scientists, these are professionals, these are, in, you know, in a limited capacity, like, military personnel. Like, there's always this underpinning of, like, we are seeing people, like, operate under, you know, a framework of authority and responsibility. And obviously, clearly, like, we, you know, we want to see characters break away from that. And I think, you know, again, Lower Decks, I think the whole premise of the show is characters breaking away from that. And on Discovery, there's just never been that actual framework. It's always just like they're, you know, again, they're quippy buddies and just commenting on everything. And like, it's just, it never feels like they're goddamn professionals.
They keep reference, in the first two episodes, they reference the cliffs a lot because like, which I made the joke, this, you know, Kelvin Trek or whatever, is all about, you know, cliffs and people being on the edge of cliffs, and the show kind of has even realized that, and they keep referencing cliffs and
mm-hmm. It'd be like if you're watching like Walker Texas Ranger or like some other kind of like similar, you know, 90s show, and they kept referencing like, you know, big warehouses and hallways. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, like at right. some point, like it, you're not, you're doing yourself a disservice by drawing attention to this. Like,
yeah. And
you
know, it's like, yeah.
Either like commit to it or
they're
don't.
They're trying to be the action show and it's, you know, everything on the edge of cliffs. And
I was just waiting for a mailman to come in and order a beer.
Oh, because Cliff got
I wish there was. I wish Cliff Clavin showed up in here.
Cliff Clavin would be so good.
Yeah,
I mean, Cheers, it's Star Trek, but it's Cheers, also a terrific premise. Like,
yeah,
I think what I really want is for, like, perfect example. So the guy who's not a Vulcan. I thought he was a Vulcan at first, but obviously his
they don't say what he is because everything.
I looked it up. He's a Kelloran.
Who's that?
He's a what?
This is the guy that kind of looks like Daniel Craig. The like.
Oh, he's a Canadian. XO. I like him. There's two performances in this whole show so far that I actually like.
Yeah.
And they're the new guy.
The other captain who becomes the first mate.
Yeah. Because he's the only asshole. And I like when Star Trek has assholes. I did that same thing with Picard and the other captain and they made him not an asshole at the end and it sucked.
But yeah, and the whole thing early on, I'm like, oh, he's right.
He's right.
Yeah, he's right and good.
Well, and everybody's like, oh, he's getting court-martialed because of politics. And then they're like, this is what we got to do. I was like, no, you don't. He was right the whole time. He didn't do anything. I mean, he made the wrong choice, but like,
yeah.
You don't court-martial a guy over it. You say, oh, shit, we made the wrong choice, but we're standing by it because it was a thing.
The court-martial was so weird. I was like, wait, hold on. Like, right, he prevented their escape. And then, yeah, they did something evil. I was like, well, yeah, they're the bad guys.
Right.
They do that.
You know, like, and nobody's admitting, nobody's saying he did the right thing, but he acted with the authority he had and responded to the situation on the ground.
Yeah.
It turned out to be maybe the wrong call, but it was his call to make.
Right.
He made it, and we stand by it. That's what they, because, you know.
He's a goddamn professional. And by the way, I looked it up. He's a Kelloran, which is something from a Deep Space Nine episode.
He's a catamaran?
Close enough.
He's a boat with two hulls, right?
Yeah, you didn't know.
He's a boat with two hulls, yeah.
No.
I just figured he was like, in the future, all the species are inbred like that Ferengi was or whatever.
Right. And I thought that at first too, but
he's a catamaran.
Apparently he is in fact a Kelloran. Yes.
He's fine. A catamaran, Glenn. Yep. We're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct you. He's a catamaran.
Glenn, sorry to correct you. He's a catamaran.
Thank you. God damn it. But you know, look, this guy, of course, he's a professional, but that whole scene, I can't even remember which episode it's in. I think it's the third one, but where he's, you know, having his one-on-ones, with the crew, and you know, eventually, you know, Tilly loses it. It's like, oh, you're not even giving him a chance. He was so excited to talk about the science thing, and that's where we're going wrong. Is like in a Trek show built on the fundamentals, that conversation would not happen that way. Like, you could certainly make something of, oh, this, you know, commanding officer shows no interest in like the personal lives of his staff.
Right.
You don't frame it as like, oh my God, you are so mean to him. It's like you make some kind of like, you know, moral or, you know, ethical conundrum out of it. Like, you know, have him be like, look, again, I'm a professional. Like, I don't think there's any, I think it complicates the mission to, you know, get moored in these personal details, but that's not what it's about. It's about, you hurt this guy's feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like, and that's...
We've had that kind of captain in Star Trek before, and what's his name in TNG that takes over for Picard, and they're like, this guy's a dick.
Oh, Jellicoe.
Jellicoe, yeah, yeah. And then at the end, they're like, well, he's got different methods, but they work for him. You know, like,
but, you know, but that's, see, but that's like, that's what you latch onto, is like, this is like like seeing that difference of, like, I would be interested if they actually did, like, if they were interested in exploring, like, the difference in, you know, kind of management or command style between him and Michael. And, like, I can't remember which season where they called her reflexively supportive. And that was the thing, it's like, you hit the understand what's happening. Like that does reveal something.
Her command style is, don't get me started on her commands. Like, I got so mad. Like, TNG understood you don't send the captain on those missions. They keep saying
it's crazy. Exactly.
And she's just like, it's so they can send her out there and have her go woohoo when like some she's about to like that's nobody wants that shit. They want what made Harrison Ford such a good action hero was because he looked scared when he was running away.
Yeah.
Don't give me this shit. Yeah.
Right. Which, and like that's, and this also is tied into just the kind of the constant identity crisis Discovery has had from like the day of its inception, you know, that it was, it's never been clear what show it was really like supposed to be.
Well,
it started.
I'll go back to say, we had a difference of opinion on this. It's season four. Just figured out what kind of show it was, mm-hmm. and it was going to be that kind of Regency soap opera or whatever, and it executed the kind of show it wanted to be well enough. And you know what? This season so far has decided what it's going to be. They probably got extra producer pressure from Akiva, from Kurtzman to be like, we got to do the Marvel MacGuffin chase action movie stuff, and so mm-hmm. that's what they're doing, and they're doing it. God damn it, they're doing it. in a way that is trite and like doesn't feel new or interesting to us, but they're executing on what their goals are, and they still got some of that soap opera shit with all of Saru's wedding scenes.
Good God. Can we talk about just the fucking black hole of, I don't know, interest that storyline? It like just, there's no fucking, like, there's no fucking, like, for one thing.
Well, that's what I thought, right? She said, like, we should, like, solidify our thing. And I was like, oh, they're gonna fuck.
I think they
Let's
do
go
fuck.
Go to Pound Town.
They do fuck. No, they but just I don't thought, show it because they're both, yeah. Like,
they're
I don't
cowards.
Like it. I don't like any of the performances on the show. And I think what's his name that plays Saru is a terrific actor. I just don't like
Dougie Jones.
I love Doug Jones.
I love Doug Jones. I don't love Saru right now. He's boring as shit. I don't love the only two I like. I think, you know, Tilly is the epitome of the theater crowd, like, kind of, like, we love each other, pat on the back. But you know what? She's a good actor, and I think she pulls it off. I don't think anybody else
does. I agree 100%. I think she knows what she's being asked to do, and she's doing it.
And she's funny. She's got charisma, and, like, she's the comedy and everything. She's like, horny after the cute boy at the beginning or whatever, and I think that's
good. Yeah. That was good. I like that.
That was good, horny.
But I thought she did a great job with it. So
here's how I'd put it. If she was the only character that was like that, that would be interesting. But she's not. She's one of so many characters on this fucking show that are, you know, quirky and affirmational and have just an endless, you know, array of quips and are commenting on everything. And so that's like, again, like, I think such a key failing is that, like, it's almost like the Joss Whedon criticism that, like, you know, that he can't write his characters, like, share a single voice.
Well, this is
all right, but it's fair to acknowledge that, like, she's the one who's good at it.
Exactly.
She is.
They even did it to fucking Tig. I was so mad.
Because
I was like, the first two episodes, like, man, this show sucks when Tig's not on it. And then then Tig showed up in the third episode. I was like, oh, finally, because that's been my Riker's, that's been my beard.
Right, the growing Star Trek. Beard is the introducing the Tig.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not a thing about, you know, it's Star Trek when the beard shows up. It's good. They did it with Riker, and they say the same thing about DS9 when Sisko gets one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tig was going to be the beard for this show, and she has been. But this episode, they brought her in, and even she's like, "Oh, I turned into a woo woo asshole right there."
Oh, God,
and it sucked. Like, and Tig, because you know, I love Tig, but her performance wasn't up to it at that point either, because she got written into another woo-woo asshole.
Well, she's barely in it. I mean, yeah, she's in that one scene.
And I was about to say, I get the sense that, like, they couldn't work around her schedule this time around. I feel like we're going to get very little Tig. I think we're going to see her again in the finale.
Yeah, right.
And maybe, like, one other time, which is a bummer, because, like, again, like, yeah, there's...
Usually when Tig shows up these are the good episodes when Tig's in it.
Yeah. Oh man, the first episode she was in, she's fucking electric. It's a shame.
Yeah.
I liked when Gay Doctor played the other guy.
Yes, the Trill.
When he does his Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, and like that wasn't good, but it was different.
It was different. Yeah.
And I was like, oh god, like a voice. Just like any different like voice in this show. Thank you so much.
But no, it felt like he was doing a Billy Dee Williams impersonation.
it definitely had Billy Dee energy to it. Which, look, again, it's a choice. Like, I was
I was there for it, honestly. I was like, yeah, all right.
Yes. Yeah. On board.
And like,
I like how he was like, if you don't talk to the invisible bugs, then you die, and that'd be fine with me. I'm like, yeah. Wait, hold on. This is a weird test, guys. Like, this only worked because Book could talk to the
right.
bugs.
I was like, oh, remember, Book has Dr. Doolittle powers. Like, oh, yeah.
That was crazy. I did completely forget.
I also...
He does have Dr. Doolittle powers.
And then she's like, can you talk to them? I was like, what do you mean?
Right. I also completely forgot that was something that he could do. I just remember again, but thinking back to like theories about what his deal was,
they can't figure out how to make it because he falls back. They did the same thing last season where like, oh, you and Michael are kind of on the outs, and then they bring him in to do the job because he's the only guy that can do it. And they did that last season, and then I thought they did a good job with him coming in like they did at one time in this season four, and then he turns on them and like fucks everything up and has to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. And then, and at the end, that was like a real kind of a piece of tension between those two characters. And this season, they do the same thing. It's like, well, we have a history, and they do the same shit, but like it's the tension is harder because he's been, you know, sent to prison or whatever. But then the whole thing is just
right.
Going,
yeah.
I don't know if I can see him. You know, it's like, and it's like falls into it's the same game they did last season. It's a little more heightened, but dumber.
Yeah.
Because they fall back into the same like, well, we should have done that move. Remember from our time.
Well, they've spent so much time and effort, like, trying to, you know, force all of these relationships. Like, I should say forcing the viewer to care about these relationships when, you know, it's a chicken and egg situation where, like, on a, you know, typical Trek show or really any of these, you know, 22-episode sci-fi thing of the week where, like, you know, these things kind of built up more organically and, you know... Like, Miles O'Brien was popular because people, like, just over a period of years, like, spent increasingly more and more time with him. And it like, grew from this organic thing versus, you know, if, I don't know, this is probably, like, not a good comparison point. But, like, I feel like the fact that it is this, you know, 10-episode season, prestige format, no, it's all, like, right. You know, MacGuffin chases and one thing that, like, everything... including like the relationships between the characters follows the same suit where like it has to be like almost like reverse engineered from the start as opposed to, you know, something growing organically.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky thing. I think it's possible to, you know, because like those 22 episode seasons were, there's plenty of schlock written to those, but it like, sure. And you can have a 10 episode season where the characters are and all the writing is good and it clicks in and you don't have to. But I think it probably is easier when you just live with the characters and it develops organically. Like, you can do it in the 10 episodes, but, like, it's hard. And it takes a lot of work and probably a lot of revisions and a lot of...
Absolutely. And look,
you know, a lot of really, you know, hard writing to make it click. And other shows can make that work. And it's just hard and they don't... Most things don't pull it off.
Case in point, like Strange New Worlds, like does I'd argue about as good a job as it might be possible within the 10 episode prestige framework.
It does. You know what? I have to admit it's a good show and it does a good job with it.
It is a good show. It's absolutely a good show.
And yeah, the writing's like, good. Even, you know, it, so all this shit kind of fits better together better.
And I do think that's the key difference is that, like, the crux of the writing is just so much stronger. Like, comparing it to, like, there's an episode of Strange New Worlds where, I forget what the character's name is, but the Khan's, like, ancestor. But she, you know, it's the episode when she, like, gets sent into the past and she's in Canada and she's with, like, a different timelines version of Kirk. And, it's, again, it's all, like, it, on paper, a lot of what, you know, I openly despise about Discovery, you know, this kind of, like, melodramatic.
Yeah, I was about to say, when you write it out like that, it's like, oh, that makes me groan. But, like,
it was done in a way.
The writing is good in it.
Exactly. And if nothing else, like, you know, you had spent enough time with that character in so many different, like, scenarios that you knew that, like, this is not a character that, like, really, she's not someone who's very in touch with her emotions.
Right,
like,
right.
It's unusual for her to be, like, emotionally intimate with someone. And so, like, going from that episodic framework, I think, made that episode work better versus here, like, if it was Discovery, like, this would be someone that, like, we are constantly being told, oh, you got to open up, oh, you got to be weepy and blah, 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 blah. And, like, it's just, I don't know exactly how best to articulate it beyond the fact that there is, like, some kind of chemistry that Discovery has not figured out.
Well, and I think it's in the dictates of what kind of show it has to be. Like,
yeah, I think I bet you're right.
Because Strange New Worlds was like them finally saying, "Fine, we'll just try to do the Star Trek that people want with this prestige format." Whereas playing like, and I from the beginning I said it doesn't have to be that. Like, you could do new stuff, but like what Discovery thought it needed to be was not your regular Star Trek, but it's the same, like, Hollywood schlock with Star Trek kind of on top of it.
You know what it is?
Which is not, it's not good when Marvel movies do it.
Nope.
And it's not good when Star Trek does it.
Nope. And I'll say what it really is. It's that meme of, like, oh, you know, we want Star Trek. Well, we have Star Trek at home, and Discovery is the Star Trek at home that's, you know, like, being, you know, forced into this kind of, like, cookie cutter mold. To an extent, and look, I do want to always, like, fall back on, like, I do think a lot of what Discovery has accomplished just in terms of, like, what you see in these types of shows at, like, this level is, you know, still admirable. Like, I do genuinely appreciate that, like, this show has taken, like, proactive measures to, like, be more inclusive and,
oh yeah,
But the flip side of that is that Strange New Worlds has been successful in very similar ways, and if nothing else, has demonstrated that, like, you can have your cake and eat it too. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's not, it's not like, I'm sure there are plenty of incels on Reddit and other places that are, you know, saying that the reason Discovery is bad is because they include X, Y, or Z, you know, in the show. And if nothing else, I feel like the official position of Star Trek Resignation is that we are not of that opinion.
Oh, yeah.
But really, like, again, like, it is something that, like, they do certainly deserve credit for. It's just a shame that, like, they can't get the other stuff right as well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're going to keep watching this, and hopefully the rest of the season will.
Stop wrapping up. Hey, is Miles O'Brien Irish Spider-Man?
Yes, Sean, he's Irish Spider-Man. Okay, also, cool. Said I was wrapping up. I'm just trying to articulate a fucking point of view here.
It really, that was like a real, like, in summation.
Well, excuse me for point. You know, concisely summarizing my thoughts on a subject.
Oh, Glenn, I've been sitting on that Miles O'Brien joke for 5 full minutes. There's nothing concise about anything you do.
Yeah. Good to be back, you fucking assholes.
I haven't heard a word you guys have said because I've been waiting to interject my terrible joke.
Oh.
Well, it's a...
I didn't even get it, Sean, if I'm being honest.
No, because he's talking about Miles Morales.
Oh, Morales, so, yeah, that's
there's Spider-Man.
Morales O'Brien. That was it.
if they, in the multiverse, there is an Irish Spidey universe,
I'm
and
sure there is.
That universe Spider-Man is Miles O'Brien.
Yeah, Miles O'Brien.
Because he's got the same first name as Miles Morales. That's what the joke
yeah,
hung
on. It's fucking stupid, Wade.
Okay. I'm just saying, I was right to be confused. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, of course you were. It was bad and not funny.
I will say, credit
to Spider-Man's Peter Parker, and I don't believe in this Miles.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like they're both named Miles.
Credit where it's due to Across the Spider-Verse for highlighting the many, many, many Spider-Men and women who are not a variation of Peter Parker. So, you know, you hit on something there.
Yeah, Miles O'Brien, he's out there.
Now, if there were an Irish Spider-Man in the Spider-Man, it would be like Pedrig O'Brien or something.
That's true. It would be Pedrig O'Parker. That's absolutely well, because it's what they did with the Spider-Man of India. He's a Prabhupada. I can't remember the exact, but it's like some take on Peter Parker with like Hindu name.
All right. What did you like the first episode?
No.
Like you said, I took a lot of notes on the third episode.
All right, let's skip to the third episode.
I mean, I don't know. It all runs together, though.
I'd have trouble like pointing out like what happened in which episode.
Is Trill the planet and the people?
Yes.
Yes.
That's fine.
The Trill are on Trill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I forget. Does
I don't have any more questions.
Do what's their name? Do they still have a bug, a slug inside of them? The human that had the host?
Gray, I think, does not have a symbiont, if I recall correctly. But
what happened to the symbiont?
I think someone else took it.
The boyfriend is in a Picard body.
Yes, yes.
Because that was dumb.
Blue is the actor. What's the character's name?
I forgot that.
I don't believe they have a symbiont. I believe both them and Gray are symbiont-less at this time.
Okay, so what happened? So they just did.
Well, the symbiont was like a general. It was like a general from the burn or something, and that was like the kind of.
And did they just put the symbiont back into the blue water caves? Is that what happened to it?
I'd be lying if I said I had any like.
That's what I was trying to remember, because I know like their boyfriend doesn't have the symbiont in it, but they stole the symbiont from their boyfriend and put it in the human host because that's all they could do.
Right, that was like the only option at the time.
And then they were like haunted because by their dead boyfriend.
Right, Gray.
And then they
Gray
put the dead
like
boyfriend
a...
into a Picard robot body.
They were somehow able to extract Gray's consciousness from the symbiont and put it in a.
But I don't remember what they did with the symbiont. So okay. So now
we also this.
So now they're just a human on a spaceship, and
I believe
with a tracker on it. They did that at the end of the third episode.
Yes.
Put a spidey. They put a spider tracker on him at the end.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
To bring it around back to what we're doing, Spider-Man. they put a spider tracker on.
Hell yeah, I'm back in.
All right. You there, Sean?
I wouldn't have thought.
yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I have such vague recollections of what has happened in previous seasons. Like, I know that it's not, like, honestly, the recap was useful because I was like, oh, right, there was the scientist guy who's the reason that Book is in prison. Because he had a better plan or something, and who fucking remembers?
Oh, I forgot the scientist guy, because they said Book and the scientist guy said fuck those aliens and we're gonna blow them up, and then they lost, and then they got
something back. Like oh right, because it was the what was the storm going through the galaxy called? It was like the
well, it's the galactic barrier, which is the thing from
no. That's what
killed Book's planet.
Yeah, so like what was like it had some very MacGuffin-y name, like the anomaly or some shit like that.
Yeah, I forgot.
I guess in terms of like the overall MacGuffin of this season, Sean is not wrong that anti-life equation might be the actual like angle they're going with.
Right.
That's what it evoked for me, man. I don't know. Like, oh, let's find all the source of all life. And then the guy's like, ah, but like in bad people's hands, it would be bad.
Right. Well, the whole premise is like this technology can do anything. And then Paul Stamets comes in to the not Vulcan guy and says, I just figured something out.
Right.
This technology can do anything. And like, yeah, no shit. That's why they're after
it. And he's like,
dumbass.
Do go on. It's like, no, you know this.
Yeah. Guy who's not the head engineer that still is in charge of engineering from... They did that in season, so the first episode or two. Sorry, that was not.
Oh right, no. I remember, but I was gonna say
I don't know what anyone's job is on the ship.
Well, that's right? And you know
they all do whatever they want.
Yeah,
and that's another failure of the show is that I feel like when these shows are done well, like you have such a clear like you know that Miles O'Brien is the fucking transporter tech, like that right, is right. Like very yeah. clearly established as like his
because everybody has their it's a hierarchy and everybody has their place in it, but in this show they're all friends.
Exactly.
And you know, it's all about
they're all friends.
They're all friends in the other stuff. It's space friends solving space problems, but they're like, you gotta fucking know your role, man. It's also
Again, be a goddamn professional.
Right. Because like at the end of it, like when they put the Spidey tracker on Gray or whatever their name is.
Yeah, Gray.
Yeah. Joni was like, well, can't they just black alert and then they'll be far away from wherever Maul and the Bonnie and Clyde are. It's like, oh, you're right. They could just zap away. It would take them like, you know, 100 years to get across the galaxy to where they are. But of course not. That's not going to happen. They're going to be traveling. They get to travel at the speed of plot. So it doesn't, they're not going to.
Right. The Spore Drive is like this universe breaking thing, but plot exists.
But plot is more powerful than that. So they'll be able to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when they were fighting the bugs, like they were using, Book was using his like personal transporter to like beam around and stuff. And I'm like, oh, great. Like that's like you're using that in a fight, which makes sense. That's fun. And then he gets shot in the leg and Michael like picks him up and has to limp him over to a rock. Beam to the rock.
Right. I know they did say
later.
You have
the thing. You were just using it. You can use it again.
Yeah. There was a classic Star Trek of the minerals in this rock are fucking with the teleporter.
Oh, is that a trope?
That's a trope.
Yes,
for sure. Yeah, yeah.
There's always something that fucks with the transporter tech.
Yeah. I will say, in these three episodes, I missed the Mega Man guns from season two or three.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I think those were like when they came to the future.
When they
first
show this amazing century, they're like, oh, phasers work differently. You can just, everybody has Mega Man guns.
Yeah.
And they don't have those anymore because they need to look like Star Trek phasers.
Yep.
Credit where it's due, they can just do Mega Man gun and suddenly have a phaser in my hand because of the tech. And it's like, but I do miss some Mega Man gun.
Yeah, there's been a lot of like kind of papering over like how the tech is not really all that different from the classic Trek's like stuff because we know why, but
yeah,
you know,
brand recognition. That's why. Yeah.
Exactly, and. You know,
like at the end where like, you know, my so-called life, what's his name? He's had this amazing experience with the Jean-Tal, which, you know, DS9 reference, they did that in DS9, where he takes on the symbiont's personality and he's like, I don't know if science will ever be able to explain this. It's like, they explained that shit in DS9. Come on. Like you put a fucking memory engram on the other person and you take their memories. There's science behind it. But he's like, oh, this is mystical shit. I guess we'll never know. 900 years after of DS9 when they like, they're still, that made me mad too.
It's
like,
well, it's funny. The whole like central, like, you know, like MacGuffin of the season does kind of hint at something that happens often, which is like, massive, like gigantic, colossal scientific revelations are again just frequently papered over. Like, you know, even in like TNG and the other classic shows, like they'll like something monumental will like be discovered that like, oh, it turns out you can actually go past, you know, warp 9.99. And there's always, you know, there's usually some, you know, plot, you know, contrivance that means, oh, well, it turns out we can't, you know, we can't go faster than the warp. We can't go warp 10 because we'll turn into salamanders.
Yeah.
But
just you, right? You have to engage anime rules. You know, it's just like you right, Luffy can go gear five, but like he can't do it. You got to sideline him in some way or else there'd be nothing for anybody else to do.
Sure, sure.
You know, they can't just go. You got to set like artificial limitations. So that's fine. We get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's got to be done right.
But I do appreciate that, like, if nothing else, that the you know, plot of the season revolves around a, again, colossal revelation, a colossal potential scientific advancement, i.e. the ability to, like, truly create life as we know it, is being treated with that, like, you know, level of gravity. And like, there's follow-up. That's what it is. Like, there's usually not follow-up on, like, okay, look, I know... I know that, you well, know, they, Warp 10 turned Tom Paris into a salamander, but, like, let's at least do a little follow-up on this to see if we could do something with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also don't know.
Yeah.
What a dumb show.
Yeah, yeah. They sprinkled a few references in there, I appreciate, like, Zenkethi Space and the Breen. The Breen are still the assholes, apparently.
The Breen are the Leia, the bounty hunter Leia.
Yeah, yeah.
Aliens.
And they and I thought 900 years later maybe they figured something different out with the Breen, but they're like, nope, they're still kind of dicks.
Nope, they're still contrarian dickheads who just will take the worst side in a conflict.
Right, right. Zenkethi Space, they talked about, like, that was a thing in DS9. It's also based on as a ripoff, and it's similar to the thing from the Ringworld guy, but
they did talk about.
Went on that tangent on that podcast I did like 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, they did also talk about the Dominion War, so there wasn't Dominion War erasure.
Yes,
at least.
They did. Yes, I was like, oh, did they just mention the Dominion War? And Joni's like, I don't fucking know.
You're telling me Joni was not on the edge of
her
seat.
Yeah, yeah. When
that information.
When Lando Calrissian and the scientists were figuring out what to do with the progenitor tech, they're like, "Well, the Dominion War was raging, and we had to hide it or whatever."
Right.
I did appreciate the reference to the Dominion War.
I mean, look, it's a colossally important galactic event. It's weird when they don't bring it up. Like, it's,
yep.
even in what is it? Say, even in Insurrection, like it's only like a passing reference, like to right. like something actively going on.
Yeah, yeah, that was a producer meddling.
But what were you saying about Vulcan?
Well, the Vulcan purist seemed reminiscent of the like Vulcan terrorists from Enterprise.
Oh yeah.
That show I never watched, actually, but I know enough. But that there's a whole thing about the
there were the extremists, and yeah, Vulcans were they did a weird job with the Vulcans on Enterprise because
Vulcans sucked then and they suck now. Like, and you know what? That I don't have a problem with.
But I will say Enterprise is one of the few shows where it's the closest, at least that I can think of, that we've seen to what Vulcans are like when they're fucking, because T'Pol.
All those space shower scenes, yeah.
Well, T'Pol, like, fucks the engineer, and it's one of those, like, perverted things. I'm like, I am curious, like, what is a Vulcan actually like during that? Like, are they expressive? Are they just, like, kind of...
Well, you know, Vulcans actually have more emotions than humans.
Yes.
And when they let go, and, you know... All that.
And that was the implication.
Decontaminating gel or whatever they use in that. I've almost like in the
Oh right. and that definitely was the implication, is that, you know, T'Pol like got like, you know, a little let her hair down a little bit when things got hot.
Right. Well, then Enterprise like gives them like space AIDS or something fucked up.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, they have a kid that like is like created without their knowledge. It's Enterprise is not a good show. Like Enterprise made a lot of very baffling decisions.
I'm not gonna demean Enterprise because I'll do that some other time.
They're better than Hertz. Tell you that much.
Yeah, right. Oh God damn it! Yeah, yes. How long were you waiting on that one?
Well, not long. He just said it.
Yeah. And Strange New Worlds does horny Vulcans, I guess.
Well, that's true.
Fine enough.
Yeah, you see Spock with his fiance getting... They're just about to, and I think he gets interrupted.
I don't...
I mean, look, it's...
Look, it's a good show. I'd get mad at Vulcan and new Spock and stuff, but you know, it's fine. I guess we can wrap it up like you wanted to do 20 minutes ago, Glenn.
I never said I wanted to.
Glenn, do you want to do your do you want to do your summation now?
Motherfucker. You know what I will do? I'm going to introduce a new segment if you guys want, I'll respect your wishes and let you guys wrap up your own thoughts first.
You can introduce this segment.
I'm spent.
I don't have thoughts. I hate this shit.
I have a. You know what? I've hated it more than I hate it now. It's not my bag.
It's not the worst. It's not the worst it's ever been. I agree with you on that front.
Yeah. At least it's executing on what it wants. But like, what it wants sucks.
Yes, and therein lies the rub.
And I don't like any of the performances except for two of them. So, I mean, I guess I don't like the show right now.
And, well, you know, look, and maybe that'll change. Maybe things will kick into a better gear throughout the season. But I do not remain hopeful.
I don't want them to, like, make the other captain turned number one, like, a friend.
No, but they will. Just wait. I mean, they did at the end of this episode.
Yeah, he'll soften up.
They will. I know they will, and they're going to ruin him.
Yeah.
Let him be, like, a crank.
Right.
Dumb.
They'll all be best buddies and weeping and, you know, talking about their fucking feelings. Oh, and
he better not cry at the end of this.
Yeah. He will.
I looked him up. He got into acting because he was, like, friends with Bruce McCullough or something shit. He's a Canadian.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, that's very funny. Yeah. I like Cronenberg's performance, too. He's like, such a...
I do like Cronenberg.
Yeah. I'm surprised how much he's in it.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
he's probably gone for the rest of the season.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Even just as much as he was. It's surprising.
Right?
Yeah. But, I'll watch it. I will give it a fair chance. But I I'm not hopeful.
I go into everything wanting to like it. I don't want to dislike anything. Sure. You know? Well, there's some things.
Yeah.
You know, Trump's second term, I'm not going to like, you know? But
no, that's going to be a bummer.
Yeah, it's going to be a real shame.
But,
you know, yeah, generally I go into things hoping they'll be good, you know?
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I'm happy to introduce my new segment, which is...
Is it a Trump fundraising segment?
Yes, exactly. The poor man needs legal fees, and
as long as this fundraiser you set up is also a funnel, like, do it like the man does it. Funnel it into us, man. It's a fundraiser for Trump. Give us all your money. We're going to support the rightful president. None of the money's going to go to him. It's going to go to us.
It's going right to us.
Yeah. I mean, it's been established that people don't care even if you openly steal their money. So
they're pretty into it.
I'll send you a Bible. Yeah. I don't give a shit. It's going to go straight to his legal fees. It's going to go to us.
Yeah.
But my segment, unrelated, is really it's more just updates on a project I've undergone, similar to status report, but I have declared 2024 the year of the backlog. It's the year I've decided, you know what, I've got a lot of shit to catch up on, things that I want to catch up on. I feel like that's like an important part of this, but like, I have gone into this year with the active,
like, I feel like you got bigger things to worry about this year.
Yes, I do, and we're not going to talk about
that. Does feel objectively true?
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to talk about that on pod, but yes. Okay. At least not yet. Outside of those pending life events, I have gone into this year with the stated goal of, like, if there's something I've been meaning to watch, meaning to play, meaning to listen to, like, this is the year I'm going to at least try and get to it. And, you know, it's been important to not make this, ironically, not to make it a status report thing. Like, it's not about, you know, hitting a quota. It's not about, you know, percentage points or anything like that. It is about, look, I mean, obviously, you know, gamers are going to be most, you know, familiar with this, you know, phenomenon of a backlog in like your entertainment. But, you know, I have been trying to approach it from the perspective of, look, I bought this game on sale, you know, 5 years ago because it interested me. Like, there was something that interested me about it. So, like, why not
take
it on?
Noble goals, I feel like these are. Now I'll call it that.
And so if anyone else wants to join me in you know, declaring their own year of the backlog, that's, I think, the key foundation is that it can't be about hitting a quota. Like, it's not about actually clearing out your backlog 100%. Obviously, the hope is that you'll get through a good amount of it, but it's more about, hey, you bought
all
that
things, all these things you've missed out that you think you'll enjoy, go for it.
Exactly. It's, I mean, I guess really, the best summation of it is like, hey, everyone loves The Sopranos and keeps telling me I need to watch it. Why not watch it this year? Like, this, like, what's stopping me?
You should.
Nothing, exactly.
I should rewatch The Sopranos. I want to do that.
And I will say, of the things I've experienced in the year of the backlog so far, it's definitely been a healthy mix of like new and old stuff. But the most random one that I enjoyed the most is Crossroads, the Karate Kid, but it's blues movie.
I was going to say it's the Ralph Macchio, not the Britney Spears.
Not the Britney Spears one. But
Britney Spears one's good.
Like Stevie Ray Vaughan or whatever, or is it Steve Vai?
It's Steve Vai. It's Steve Vai who does. So yeah. It really is. It's Karate Kid with like elements of like a road movie in it, and I knew of this movie for years because like the clip with Steve Vai that you're talking about like is like a very famous scene from that movie where they have this like guitar duel, and I've loved the music from it for years, but I never saw the fucking movie.
I never saw it either. So, but Macchio like really plays in that shit. Like he rips, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And case in point, like I really fucking enjoyed the movie. It was like, it's a good road movie. And it talks a lot about like, you know, Robert Johnson and a lot of like, you know, Delta blues stuff. And again, the music fucking rules. And, you know, it just felt like a great, you know, example case of like, hey, this is what you can achieve in your own year of the backlog. Something that like you knew you were going to like, but you just never got around to it. And when you finally do, you're like, oh, this fucking rules. Like, I'm glad I watched this. So
that's what
I'm going to be talking about.
Keep bringing it up, man. That's, I love that.
Okay. Now, wait. Relevant to the pod. Now, everybody knows, right, the fun fact about the Britney Spears Crossroads is that Shonda Rhimes wrote it.
I did not know that.
Wow.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, Shonda Rhimes wrote it. Wow. So I imagine you don't know who the guy is in that movie.
Who's the guy?
It's Anson Mount.
Handsome Mount himself.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
There you go. Yep.
A 2002 Anson Mount.
Oh, man. I bet he was.
Isn't that crazy?
Supremely fuckable.
He is a fuckable little baby.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. I love this new segment. I'm learning so much already.
See, there you go.
So there you go. So everyone, you know, anyone listening out there, you know, go for it. Craft your own backlog. Have fun. That's the main thing. Have fun. Watch it because you want to watch it. Play it because you want to play it. Don't feel like you have to do it. Like,
man, this is like the antithesis of status report, and I'm here for it. I love it.
Well, and look, I'll be honest. It colored my like, you know, crafting of this project. And like, you know, look, I'm keeping track of like everything I'm watching just because, you know, it's me. But but you know, at the end of the day, it's not about like hitting any particular number. And I will say, discipline is, I think, an important part of it too, because I think the reason we all do get backlogs is because there's always something new. There's always a, you know, a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth that just came out that keeps you from, you know, finishing this other thing. And so, you know, there's no guilt. There's no shame. Watch and, you know, engage with what you want to engage with. But, like, you know, if you can, like, watch The Sopranos. Watch Crossroads with Ralph Macchio. Like, why not?
Yeah. Watch it with Denson Mount.
There you go.
There you go.
And don't get the flu. The flu's terrible. That's why I sound different.
I don't know if people will notice or not. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
It's been so long. They forgot right, what my voice sounds like.
I sound different on. Yeah, I don't know. You notice these things or you don't. Most people don't, I don't think. All right.
Well, it's good to be back.
It is nice. I miss it. We never got around to Sean's Anatomy.
No, but it's coming.
I'm still committed to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to get all up in Sean's anatomy. I want it to happen.
Well, do we want to announce like the what's kind of sprung out of that?
I mean, sure. Yeah, we can.
What sprung out of that?
What sprung out?
I mean, we're doing a podcast miniseries called TV the Musicals.
Oh yeah, I forgot that we named it.
Oh yeah,
we're doing it now.
I mean, look, Star Trek's going to be over. I guess there'll be other Star Treks. But there won't be Lower Decks after season 5.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Was Lower Decks ending too?
No, they're getting rid of it. They already pretty much finished season 5. Like,
wow.
So that's the last.
It's so funny. It's like that show cannot be expensive.
No, I think they're just trying to cut as many corners as they can. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like Strange New Worlds was a hit. People, you know, like I was on Paramount Plus, and Discovery is not on the header menu anymore.
Wow.
You have to go down and look for it. It's got to be in your previously watched or search for it, I think. I bet Strange New World stays up there a little bit longer than Discovery does.
I bet it does too. And it's with somewhat good reason, I would argue.
Yeah, like, my anecdotal evidence is people like that show, and I don't hear anybody say anything about Discovery. So I'm glad we're doing a podcast about it because, you know, that's how you get them clicks, because that show that my
wife. I've never spoken with Star Trek Discovery about another soul that is not the two of you or anyone else we've had on this podcast.
Have you spoken?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way anyone else watches it, right?
I don't know, there's
dozens of us, guys. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Good.
Well, you know what? It's still impressive. They got 5 seasons, which in this like media landscape is quite unusual.
Yeah, good for them.
Credit where it's due.
Bless their heart.
Couldn't hate the show more. And you know what? I'm excited for this ride. And you know what? That's also the spirit of the Year of the Backlog is right. No judgment.
I could certainly hate this show more. There's a lot of shows I could hate. I could hate this a lot more than I hate this show.
There you go. And if that's the praise we have to heap on Discovery, so be it.
Right. I could like it more than I like it, but I could hate it a lot worse.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I don't know.
Should we input our self-destruct codes?
Probably.
Yeah, I got to go to work in the morning.
All right. Do we need new codes or do we go with the old?
He said it. We can do the classic.
People are cascading their cars off the road. They're so excited.
Yeah, they were waiting for it all night. When is he going to say it?
That's right.
Well, Wade, can you do the honors as our fearless captain?
Beta. Oh, I can't remember it. We're going to be here forever. Somebody else turn the other key. Beta. Cuck. I hate it.
Close enough.
I loved it before. Now, it's like I forgot my last Beetlejuice, huh?
Cuck. Where did I go wrong? I watched the show. Why has the music no one knows?
Well, that was good.
Stayed up, never mind. Had we watched Balkan Wheel of Time? Where did I go wrong? I watched the show. Why add the music? No one knows. And I would have stayed up and kicked Glenn's ass had I known how to podcast.